Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, April 8th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's decided to join us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that page and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect, positive effect, for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my experiences, most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. On that page, you can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You don't even need to get put on a mailing list to get access to that tool. And while there are a whole host of other tools available, this is the primary tool in this work. And you can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And if you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope that people do that soon and often for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is we believe that the use of these tools might very well improve the quality of your life and your relationships. Beyond that, if you use these tools, it frequently leads to comments, questions, answers, testimonials, and if you have any of those and you'd like to share them with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1. I will see the little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I will turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you can send us an email if you're listening through the archives and you're not available to call in live. You can send an email with questions to either Jeannie at J-E-A-N-I-E at W-H-Y-A-G-A-I-N.org. Or you can send an email to me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And we will do our best to address your comments or questions. And then if time allows, we will send back an email letting you know what day and time we address that, and you can listen to it in the archives. We had a support group last night, and we listened to a Guy Finley talk, and if you or someone you know might benefit from being a participant in one of those support groups, they run on Tuesdays and Thursday nights from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And all the information you need to join, absolutely free. Of course, you can donate if you'd like, but there's no required cost for participation. And all the information for how to join and participate is at mindshiftersacademy.org. And there's a separate information page for each of those 2 days, one for Tuesday and one for Thursday. And we'd love to hear your comments and your questions and or have you join us to participate in the support groups, which get, you know, very positive comments from people who attend, and many people are finding them quite useful. So if it's back to the idea of how do we start Mind Shifters Radio? Well, it began because the idea was to be able to support people who wanted to create, maintain, expand MindShifter support groups. And they would find out about these tools when Michael and Jeannie would come to their town and do a series of talks throughout a week. And then they would, Michael and Jeannie would leave and there'd be this burst of enthusiasm and then it would all just fall apart. And Michael and Jeannie said, well, if we had the opportunity to do an internet show, we could have people start a support group, and then whenever questions came up or the energy got low, they could call the internet show and get the answer to the question and or add, you know, reinvigorate the energy in the group. And so that's why this radio show exists, and it's been running for over 11 years now. So if you don't have the a schedule that would allow you to participate on Tuesday or Thursday from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time, or you would rather have a different time or your own group, there's all kinds of information on the website at whyagain.org that could assist you in starting your own group. And or there used to be a resource there for locating if there was one in your area. I'm not sure if that's still up, but you can email Jeannie at Jeannie at whyagain.org and get an answer to that question. So this year, beginning in January 10th, we've been reading and commenting on The Way of Mastery. And as I like to do, I like to open up the shows and say, if you've got a comment or a question, press one on your phone and let us know. Before we get started going back into the reading and the commentary, I like to make sure that we're inviting and encouraging active participation. Since no one has a hand up right now, I will go back into reading. We were reading yesterday, we began reading Lesson 8. And I decided to go on into Lesson 8 rather than to backtrack and summarize or reread the first 6 or 7 lessons. Because on Tuesday night in the support group, they requested that we listen to The Way of Mastery Lesson 9. Without commentary, just pretty much verbatim reading of the lesson. And the energy in me and the thoughts about how these tools work and that flow prompted me to start reading right away into Lesson 8. And yesterday, we ended with the idea that every time we choose to pour mind energy into a thought, it sends out ripples of energy that go out into the world, bounce off of other people and situations, and reverberate back to us. And we will experience the effects of the thoughts we choose. And those thoughts that we choose and the energies that we pour into them are the mechanism that creates our experience of life. And it talks in the first few pages about how we are living in an energy system within an energy system within an energy system, and we're all always connected to our source and to everyone else. And it doesn't make any sense if you think you're just a body and you're living in a physical world. But, you know, we all have experiences where we think about somebody we haven't seen in years and then we get an email from them. Or they call us on the phone. Or as Michael Rice likes to point out, when he does some of his deeper energetic work, or he's working with somebody who does some deep energetic work, it is not unusual. It is common for friends or family members of that person to reach out, even if they haven't had contact for quite a long while. He gave an example of it the day before yesterday on the internet show, where he had a visualization in his still point breathing session that his ancestors were asking him to work through generational issues. And he said, okay, I will do it. And almost instantly his son called him on the phone and asked him to help him with information about genealogy, because he was on one of the websites that track genealogy. And the book says, we all know this, we all live this, we've all had those kinds of experiences, and there's no secret about it. And so what the book wants to draw our attention to is that we have been taught, we have been conditioned to believe, we have practiced this next thought, and it has created our experience of life. It has narrowed our perceptual field. And here's that thought. It is not possible for me to have complete mastery over which pebbles are dropped into my awareness, for I am at the mercy of the vibrational field that's set up by the ripples of all the thoughts and webs of relationships in which I swim constantly. I'm just a victim of circumstances. I'm just a pawn of life. I'm just the recipient of all of these cross-generational patterns, and there's nothing I can do about it. And the text goes on to say, that perception is absolutely true as long as you choose to believe it. That perception and that belief is absolutely laughable and powerless to affect you negatively as soon as you choose to acknowledge that this is true. Because as this book has pointed out from the first lesson on, you have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment. And it is the choice of conscious awareness in each moment which creates your experience of life and nothing else. And the text goes on to say, if you would choose to awaken completely, wholly, totally, if you would choose not just to be a wave that has mysteriously arisen from the ocean, if you would choose to be more than just another soul that has arisen from the mind of God and then is somehow just crashing about through the universe, if you would wish that, then it is absolutely necessary for you to own as your own the pebble that drops into the still clear pool of your awareness with the following thought, quote, I am the one who chooses the effects I experience. I alone interpret all neutral relationships or experiences. I alone place the value upon objects, things, thoughts, and belief systems. I alone am the literal creator of my moment-to-moment experience. End quote. The text goes on to say, this, as you can see, changes everything. Once you accept this into your experience, never again can you allow yourself to feel as though you are merely a victim of unconscious forces. Never again can you look out beyond yourself and find fault with another. Never again can the energy of blame be projected from you to be dumped upon another. Never again can the energy of judgment hold sway in your holy mind. This thought, this one singular pebble dropped into the still pool of your awareness, is absolutely essential if you would decide to awaken completely, wholly, totally. And that, this lesson is about. This lesson is about what happens and what you need to do if and when you choose to awaken totally, wholly, completely. This lesson builds on all of the other lessons. The next heading in the text says, you are not a victim of the world you see. Just imagine how that flies in the face of so many things we've been taught, how many phrases there are in our language. And this reminds me of the thing that came to me a number of years ago. The language is so powerful, and we've been taught to think of, you know, I was a victim of the economic downturn. I was a victim of childhood sexual abuse. I was a victim of rape. I was a victim of the war. I was a victim of fill in the blank. And what that creates energetically within the person who speaks those words, the programming of the experience of being powerless. And it came to me to notice how my energetic experience changes if I'm in full acceptance of what has happened in the past, and I choose to say, I have experienced losing my job because of the economic downturn. I have experienced childhood physical abuse. I have experienced rape. I have experienced childhood sexual abuse. I have experienced getting beaten by bullies. I have experienced dot, 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 fill in the blank. And the change in my own perceptual field, my experience of the events, was so significant that I made the commitment to watch for any thought and any use of the word, I was a victim, I am a victim. And instead substitute, I have experienced whatever it is. Then years later, I come across a book like this that says, by the way, you are not a victim of the world you see. The text goes on to say, though you would hear the word, that which carries the vibration of truth, many times, you can also deny it as many times as it is heard. You can choose to not allow it to settle deep into the pool of your awareness. You can keep it from affecting every drop of water that makes up the wave that you are. You can hold on to the hope that you're still a victim of the world that you see, and that events hold some value in themselves, that do not come from what you place upon them. You can do that, and as long as you choose to deny the world, you cannot be set free. As long as you choose to deny that you are the one creating your experience of life, you will continue to create the experience of being small, of being powerless, of being a victim. The text goes on to say, for the mind that chooses, in even a small part of it, to perceive itself as a victim of its world of experience, that mind remains powerless. That mind remains in a state that generates frustration, weakness, fear, self-doubt, unworthiness, suffering, pain, emotional pain of aloneness or separation from others, and lack of fulfillment. Ultimately, it generates the echo of the belief that you have been squeezed so tightly by fear that you're literally separated from the ocean of the mind of the Creator. So imagine you're the one who has the capacity to either continue to rehearse, buy into, practice, pour your belief into the thought that you're a victim, or step into this thought from the previous page which says, I am the one who chooses the effects I experience. I alone interpret all events, all relationships, all experiences, and they are all neutral until I interpret them. I alone place the value that I experience upon objects, things, thoughts, and belief systems. I alone am the literal creator of my moment-to-moment experience. So there's really only these two choices. I either step into the realization that I'm creating my experience of life moment to moment, or I continue to buy into the belief that things are happening to me and that I have no power to shape my experience of this flow of life, of these interactions with different people and different things and different events. So the text goes on to say, awareness, and again, this is just a word, but it points at this ability to be here and have consciousness and be aware of anyone or anything. Awareness is all that you have and all that you are. You are not the body. You are not your thoughts about the body. You are not just a physical being. You aren't even a spiritual being having a physical experience, as so many people like to say. You are pure consciousness. You are a spark of the one mind. You are the same and connected to every other consciousness. And the fact that you haven't been taught that and you haven't been trained and trained yourself into how to have an experience of that doesn't change the truth. So the text says, awareness is all that you have and all that you are. Out of your use of it comes all that you choose to experience. And out of that comes your decision of how you will experience what you've called to yourself. In truth, and please listen well, it says, in truth, no experience you have ever had has defined you or identified you. No experience you have ever chosen to create, to call to yourself, and then to value as you have valued it has ever made you higher than or less than anyone else. Not even me, meaning not even the Christ mind, not even Jesus or Yeshua. Although there are many who still need to believe that I am far beyond them, the truth is no experience you have ever had has proven your unworthiness to be supported, to be loved, to be connected to your Creator. Therefore, you remain as you are created to be. You are a wave filled with the very self-same power as the ocean itself. A wave, a soul, a web of relationship arising from the holy mind of the Creator, with the momentum to flow on forever, with the freedom to create by deciding which vibrations you will allow to settle in and become a part of you, which thoughts you will defend, which perceptions you will cleave unto. You are then eternally a creator. And this is one thing that you have no free will about. You can never decide to be a non-participant in the very mystery of creation's extension. So, a few years ago, it came to me this kind of vision, this kind of conceptualization, is there's this massive fire hydrant with, you know, a limitless number of hoses extending from it. And each hose represents a human, a mind, a consciousness. And that fire hydrant has no off switch. It's always pumping the creative energy. And it's coming through your mind, my mind, the person sitting next to you, the person that gave birth to you, the person that cut you off in traffic. Every mind is constantly expressing the flow of this creative energy. There is no capacity to shut it off. And yet each mind is given dominion over where they point the hose. Do I point the hose towards forgiveness, gratitude, compassion, appreciation, joy, aliveness, bliss, or do I point the hose toward fear and all of its stepchildren? Anger, bitterness, hurt, resentment. That's the only choice we have in each moment. And here it says it quite explicitly. You are eternally a creator. You remain as you were created to be. You are connected to the source, your source, that's expressing constantly through you. And this is the one thing that you have no free will about. You can never decide to be a non-participant in the very mystery of creation's extension. When you hold the thought, quote, I refuse to participate in God's creation, close quote, you have literally created the perception, the experience of yourself as being outside of or separated from creation itself. You've used your power of creation in that moment to create a hallucination, a dream, an experience for yourself. You have created the insane emotion of trying to separate the wave from the ocean itself. And you will create that perception of separation, even though nothing in actuality has been affected whatsoever. You cannot be separated from your source. You can only dream or hallucinate or build an illusion of, a delusion about the power to be separated from your source. The text asks, so why is this important? And it answers the question. Because you see, the process of healing is not difficult. It requires only your willingness to accept that you are the effect of the Creator's desire to create like unto itself. Just as a wave is the effect of the ocean's desire to express itself in a new way, in a new form, and to bring uniqueness to every wave that arises from its mysterious depth. Surrender, then, is the process in which you finally relent, you give up resisting the fact of your very existence, you stop whining about it, you stop lamenting it, you stop worrying about it. Instead, you make the decision to get on with being alive, being the conduit for the creative energy, awakening to the realization that you are always creating. And you wake up to the fact that what is alive about you is going to be alive forever. There is no place to hide and nowhere to go. You know, I was talking to somebody in a session, just probably three different people so far this week who had some version of this. They are doing the work. They're doing EFT tapping and Michael Rice worksheets or Byron Katie worksheets or Diedrich Wolzak worksheets. They recognize they're creating their experience. They're identifying the negative thoughts and beliefs and traumas that when they get resonated from some interpretation they've chosen, they step back, they do the work, and they start to feel a lot better. And then a day or two goes by, and it's cloudy, or it's snowy when it's in April, or the stock market takes a turn that they weren't expecting, or you name the circumstance that unfolds in their life that conflicts with what their conscious logical mind tells them should be happening. And they end up talking to me about how they're in a funk, or they're feeling so down, or they're feeling so angry, or they're feeling so scared. And in that moment, what they've done is forgotten what they were telling me a week or two ago about how they were so proud that they'd used the powers of creation to create these good feelings and this joy and this aliveness. And they get lost in the thought that's driven by this big pebble that we were talking about earlier, that I'm powerless to affect the waves of energy that come at me. I'm powerless to change their effect on me. I'm powerless to interpret them differently. They get stuck in that thought, and they forget how just 2 or 3 days before or 5 days before, they were basking in the glory of how well they had created this good stuff in their life and this strong feeling. And so this book wants to wake us up and say at the bottom of page 98, you remain as you are created to be. You are made of the stuff of the creation itself. You're an extension of the one mind. You are the manifestation of the creative energy in form. And then it says, you are then eternally a creator. Over and over again, realize you are eternally a creator, and that is the one thing you have no free will about. You can never decide to turn off the flow of the creative energy that comes through your mind. You can never decide that your thoughts that you pour a lot of mental, emotional energy into, Dr. Rice calls it mind energy. If you pour a lot of mind energy into something, it will produce effects in your life. There is no choice about that. You can never decide to be a non-participant in the very mystery of creation's extension. And what happens when you say, no, I'm not going to, I stop the world, I want to get off? What happens is you simply use that same creative force to create for yourself an experience of being separate, a dream of being separate, a delusion of being separate. And in the book calls it the insane emotion of trying to separate the wave from the ocean itself. And it says, because you are this part of this creation, you are a creative being, you will create that experience. You'll create the perception. And even though nothing has changed, you'll feel like it has. You'll feel like you're out there all alone. You'll feel lost and lonely or sad and scared. It goes on to say, why is this so important? because, you see, the process of healing is not difficult. All it requires is your willingness to accept that you are the effect of the Creator's desire to create like unto itself. Just as a wave is the effect of the ocean's desire to express itself in a new way, in a new form, and to bring uniqueness to every wave that arises from its mysterious depths. So the suggestion then is to surrender, because that's the process in which you finally relent, you give up resisting the fact of your very existence, you stop whining about it, you stop lamenting about it, you stop worrying about it, and you make a decision to get on with being alive. You make a decision to stay awake and aware moment to moment about what you are choosing to focus your mind energy on and how that is creating your experience of life. And you wake up to the realization that what is truly alive about you, awareness, consciousness, is going to be alive forever. And there is no place to hide and nowhere to go. The next section is titled Creating as Christ. It says, when you drop the following pebble into your mind, here's the quote, here's the pebble, here's the thought. I am not a victim of the world I see. I am a ceaseless creator, made and of one substance with my creator itself, close quotes. When you drop that pebble into your mind, then indeed questions begin to take a different shape. You begin to use the power of your awareness to deliberately and selectively choose which vibrations, which webs of relationships you're going to pull into your field of awareness, which ones you're going to resonate with, and which ones you're going to let dissolve from your mind and from your awareness. If you have held on to a thought of smallness, a thought of lack, or a thought of powerlessness, now you begin to see that that is perfectly neutral. It's perfectly safe to look upon everything you've ever created and or experienced and say, quote, oh, it's very good. This is what it is. And now I'm done with it. I prefer to do something else. What's next? What pebbles can I drop into my holy mind this very moment? Can I look upon the current experience I'm having and see that it's nothing but the effect of the ripple or a pebble or a thought that I dropped into my mind so long ago that I don't even remember it? Can I look upon all of these events that are unfolding around me? And if they're unfolding in your body, that's still around you, for you're much, much more than just your body. Can I begin now? Am I willing now to drop a different thought, a different pebble, into the still and infinite clarity of the pool of awareness that is what is alive about me always? Do I dare think a different thought? Do I dare drop such a pebble into my consciousness? So what pebbles might they be? Here are some suggestions. I think I'll become a world savior, a Christ. What would that be like? What vibrations would I need to let go of out of my life? And which ones would I need to open to? What would that feel like? What would I see as I look out through the field of my awareness at this creation? I think I'll allow myself to be able to commune with any web of relationship, any soul, any being that exists on any plane of creation. Why, perhaps I'll even allow myself to know that I can communicate with Yeshua, Jesus, the Christ mind. How healthy can I become in this third dimensional reality? How many golden coins could I possibly create in order to give them away to others? How many places on the planet could I take the body to in the span of one short physical life? How many beings could I say, I love you, to? How big can I make my heart be? How deeply can I experience peace? The realm of possibilities is as infinite as you are, as consciousness itself. And the ones you select and choose are the ones that will create the web of relationships that you will call your life, your experience, even right down to the quality of how you will experience the transition that's mistakenly been called death in our world. Call it a death when you leave one room and close the door behind you and step into another room. Of course not. You just say, I was there, and now I'm here. That is all that truly occurs when the molecules you have called to yourself are unglued because you release your value of them and their constituents, their parts, and they dissolve back into the dust or the energy field of the planet. You merely leave one room and step into another. What I call you to in this lesson is this: to be willing to allow the pebble to be dropped into your field of consciousness, your pool of awareness that carries the energy of the following thought. Quote, from this moment forward, I elect to birth a Christ and thereby learn what Christ is. Close quotes. And then your experience becomes the unfolding learning of what Christ is. When that learning completes itself, you discover that you have learned that what you have learned is what you are created to be. And you have returned full circle, the prodigal son or daughter journeying through the field of all possibilities has returned as the awakened Christ and has taken up his or her rightful place at the right hand of the Creator. What does all of that symbolism mean? It just means that you finally think only with your right-mindedness. You think as the Creator thinks. And the Creator thinks lovingly. The Creator thinks infinitely, timelessly, patiently, certainly, and above all, the Creator thinks playfully, full of play. When you feel such love and joy welling up within you that you can hardly contain it, do you not start dancing and moving the body about and saying, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with all this energy? And you call your friends and you say, hey, let's have a party. Let's go to a movie. Let's create a delicious feast. You think, who could I write a letter to? Oh, wow, who could I send flowers to? Don't you get caught up in the desire to let some energy expand out of you to touch all parts of your creation? Well, imagine being the Creator itself, infinite, vast, without a top or a bottom, a left or a right, filled with nothing but pure, unconditional, radiant love, the energy of creation itself. If that were the case, could you even imagine being able to contain yourself? Oh, well, I think I'll just sit here and not let anybody else notice. I'll hold it all in. No, it couldn't happen. The Creator said, let there be light, and it is very good. The Creator looked upon all of creation, which literally means not just this planet, but all of an infinite number of creations of dimension upon dimension upon dimension, and all little webs of relationships called souls that were brought into existence in one split second. And the Creator said, lo, it is very good. this is my play, my joy, and my love and my aliveness have poured forth and overflowed my grand being and brought forth into manifestation and manifested creation, you. You are the extension of that energy and form. You, each and every one of you, are made of the very substance of that overwhelming love and playfulness that has the power to create infinitely and thereby to extend creation itself. That is who you are. That is where you find yourself now and now and forever. And you will never escape it. The question might arise, why would I want to? Well, because we get trapped into thinking negative thoughts and that we're a victim, etc. But it cannot be escaped. Playfully, you are the extension of that playful energy. You are a manifestation of the creative energy itself. It reminds me of Bill Hicks. Bill Hicks has a quote from one of his skits. He died young. He died a number of years ago. But he was a comedian with a very foul mouth, very open, raw, some would say honest mouth. But here's this quote. I've used this in a number of different talks at Unity and Religious Science churches. And he says, the world is like a ride in an amusement park. And when you choose to go on that ride, you think it's real because that's how powerful our minds are. The ride goes up and down, around and around. It has thrills and chills. It's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Many people have been on the ride a long time, and they begin to wonder, hey, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry. Don't be afraid ever. Because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Hey, shut him up. I've got a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account. Look at my family. This has to be real. And yet, it's just a ride. But we always kill the good guys who try and tell us that. Did you ever notice that? And we let the demons run amok. But it doesn't matter because it's just a ride. And we can change it any time we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. Just a simple choice right now between fear and love. Now, the eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your doors, buy guns, close yourself off, etc. The eyes of love, instead, see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defenses each year and instead spend it on feeding and clothing and educating the poor of the world, which it would pay for many times over, not one human being excluded. And then we could explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace. Now, I don't know that Bill Hicks was very much of a spiritual person. I don't know if he ever read anything like The Way of Mastery or Course in Miracles, but it sounds to me like the same consciousness gave rise to that amusement park ride talk. Your mind energy is so powerful that it can convince you that life is real, that your experience of being separated from your Creator is real, as this lesson was talking about. So, this lesson, this work, this set of tools calls us to understand our mind energy as a creative force is always on. We may want to take a break. We may want to get off the ride and stop everything. It doesn't stop. It can't stop. Life is just life. The flow of creative energy is always flowing. Our choice is simply limited to where will we point that hose? Will I point my creative mind energy towards thoughts of allowance, surrender, embracing, trusting, surrendering to the flow of life, being focused on gratitude and appreciation and joy and aliveness, or will I choose a different, more constricted, more fear-based, an attempt to create the experience of being separate from the flow of life? These are my choices. So we have about 8 or 9 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And that's the reading I'm going to do for today, so I would encourage people to raise a hand, ask a question, make a comment, present an answer. Area code 760, you're in the air.
Hey, Dr. Tim, this is Anne in Florida. Okay. My comment is going to be this little scenario, and just bear with me because I get excited this morning when I turn it on, and just before the show, I have this experience, and then you proceed to talk about it in this lesson, and I couldn't help but continue to smile as I'm doing some stuff here in the kitchen. Anyway, this is how it played out in my mind, that you are my uncle. Okay, so Uncle Tim, oh my gosh, do you realize that I just actually experienced what you've been talking about and that things can be simple? My thought this morning about something that I did, that I was going to spend all right in the middle of my thought, it changed to more positive. Oh, well, Anne, next time you'll just pick up a clean plate and put the dirty one in the dishwasher, and you would be saving time. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so I just have to say, okay, now I'm back to me. I know that sharing that, you're somebody that would say, oh, well, anyway, so often your comments about, you know, when you talk to yourself and you say, Timmy, then I'll say to myself, well, and Charlotte, because, you know, that's what I was called. And the other day it dawned on me, well, that used to be a negative thing because was I doing something wrong and my mom was calling me by both names. But now I can go, oh, wait, I need to talk to myself more positively. So anyway, okay, that's what I have.
Well, I hope it works for you. It certainly has been a positive addition to my personal work to be routinely be more gentle with myself, catch myself earlier when the negative thoughts jump up. And from that gentle, allowing, comforting space, ask to be shown something different.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it goes back to the word I've heard you say in this and the way I'm after it. And it's also been in scriptures and teaching over the years. It's really simple. We are the ones that complicate it. And, that just proved out this morning. And then it's like you said when you had somebody in the office and, you know, one, you know, they're doing great in the office with you and 2 weeks later they forgot. Well, I turned around and I did almost the same thing with another, you know, item on my kitchen counter, and I go, oh, wait, I can change this. So it's like, okay, just the more you practice, like Michael says, practice, 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 the easier it gets. So thank you for being part of the team.
Well, same to you. I'm grateful to hear that this is having a positive impact, and I will look forward to the next time you raise a hand.
All right. Thanks. Blessings.
So we've got about 5 minutes left or 4 minutes left for a comment, a question, an answer, a soliloquy. 563-999-3581. How can we support you with our limited time? Or area code 610, looks like it might be Susan.
Hi, Dr. Kim. This is something I've been thinking about. You read something, and I think it was around page 72, and I haven't even looked to see where it was, but it was something like, when you get into this frame of mind and you're able to operate from the heart, you will find that there are people you are drawn to, and it sounded like it was approaching the idea of special relationships. I don't know if you remember or can put together. Yeah, I'm hoping, you know, I'm just hoping for a little bit of relaxing on the idea of special relationships, like they're okay in certain conditions, certain situations.
No, because listen. Given a definition
yeah.
of special relationships, they're wonderful and they're fine and they're perfect. Given another definition of special relationships, they're contraindicated, they're hurtful, they're stuck points.
Mm.
So it all depends on how you define a special relationship. Remember, the way of Mastery and the Course in Miracles would talk about a special relationship is identical to my eye and ear to the way Michael Rice talks about a codependent relationship.
Oh, okay.
So,
right there.
So, you know, a special relationship, do we have a special relationship with our husband, our wife, our children? In one sense, yes. They are precious to us. We have life experiences with them that we don't have with other people. We generate an intense amount of emotional energy from our thoughts around them that we don't generate towards other people. It's absolutely true. Now, given the definition of special relationship being when I begin to think that I need that person to act or be or do something in a certain way in order for me to be happy, doesn't matter whether it's my husband or my wife or my child or Yeshua or God, his or herself, or the priest, it doesn't matter. I've just created a problem because I've just stepped into denial of the first axiom, which is I'm the one that creates my experience of life. And then I've stepped into what Michael Rice would call a codependent relationship. I think now they have to be or do a certain way in order for me to be happy. But
that's
the fact
perfect.
Of the matter is you will resonate better with different people than others. And that's okay. Right? You're allowed to choose what you prefer and pursue. And that's part of what creates this delightful experience that we have that we call our life. And I can do that without having to judge those people are bad or wrong and these people are perfectly good. I can just say I prefer this energy expenditure, this type of interaction with people. And that's perfectly okay. As long as I stay with the realization that I'm the one creating the positive feelings in me that I generate in my interactions with those people. If I get tricked into believing I'm only feeling these good feelings because I'm able to be around these people, then I've created a codependent relationship. I have misplaced my awareness. I have created the false belief that someone or something outside of me creates my experience and my emotion. And that is fraught with difficulties. That will just keep creating more difficulties in my life. So that would be what I would say about that.
That is extremely helpful.
I hope
Thanks.
So. I appreciate
yeah,
the call.
Good.
We are out of time. And I will mute you so you can listen to the second half of the show. And I will mind is all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I'll turn on the microphone for Jeannie Rice.
Hi, thank you. Appreciate it. And thanks for the quick fill-in yesterday.
Are you feeling better?
Yeah, I came straight home and put my hand in the Avison and laid down and just put my pajamas on and just stayed in bed for a while and drank some kombucha, which is like a natural ginger ale, and just kind of rested, so it passed. So, yes, thank you. I have no idea what it was.
All right, glad to hear it. Well, have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, April the 8th, 2022. Another week has come and gone. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1. And that raises a hand, puts you into queue. And we'd love to hear from you and hear your comments and your questions, because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Yes, and one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we're in alignment with what you want to hear about in terms of the topics we cover. You know, there's so many aspects to this work, from the responsibility communication tool to the commitment to the forgiveness worksheet process to the mind goal management sheet. There are just so many different aspects to this. I've never sat down, Jeannie, and counted exactly how many different worksheets we have, but there are many: purpose, personal power and commitment, codependence to interdependence. Each workshop there has a different worksheet. So, you know, avail yourself of the tools. Jump on the website, whyagain.org, and you'll see a link that says worksheets, download worksheets. Click there, and that'll lead right into special radio shows where we've talked about particular topics, radio shows we consider to be more profound than others. And the worksheets are there. So as you use them, you know, we do have a whole catalog of videos. If you need instruction on any given worksheet, then you can order those videos either as DVDs, or we do have some that are CD. The DVDs are two-hour workshops mostly, and the CDs are four-hour workshops. But you can order those online, or the DVDs you can also order as a download, or pardon me, not a download, but a streaming link.
Streaming.
Which, of course, is permanently yours. So there are lots of different ways to access the tools. And, of course, if you are applying the tools and you come across a question, the purpose of this show is to provide support and answers so that you can bring these things into, you know, into your life in a very practical way. When we look at the ancient Aramaic teachings, oftentimes it's looked at as something about Sunday morning and churchianity. But the truth is, it's a really powerful set of tools if we step outside of the distortions of churchianity. It's a really powerful set of tools for how to improve your life, how to bring life forward into new arenas, and to live differently than the generations have programmed us to live. So our call-in number, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, if you've tuned into the show through another mechanism for listening, you can, if you have questions, dial into the show directly. And if you do, you'll be listening to the show, which is the way most people do listen. And then if you push 1 on your dial pad, through the magic of technology, that little tone in your phone will open a circuit on Jeannie's computer, and a little hand goes up, and she'll know that you want to talk to us. And we're here to have a conversation. We're here to support you. And we have a Mind Shifters and Soul Point Breathing Workshop happening on Saturday, 11 o'clock Eastern Time, if anybody wants to join us for that. It is a program that we set up. It's actually going to be an ongoing program, but we have options for people to do just one session, try it out, taste it, see what you think of it, or to move into or do 3 sessions, and or to do a registration for a full year. And so if you're interested in joining us, we'll be meeting Sunday at 11 o'clock And if you choose to join us, we'll send you links to two different videos that will explain the Mind Shifters process and introduce you to still point breathing. And then on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, we'll do a little bit of processing. It's kind of cool the way people in the group are, you know, connecting and learning about each other and really creating a community of support. So we'll then, you know, complete processing from the mind shifters that people have written for that particular session. And then on Tuesday at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, we'll do a second session where we'll just, you know, having left people a couple days to process whatever came up in their breathing and whatever their worksheets are doing and such, then we have an evening session for those who are engaged in that particular series of sessions. So if you want a more private, connected group where we meet face-to-face, that's the way to do it. And the cost for a single session, Jeannie, is it $150? If someone wants to join us for that? Yeah. So if you want to do a single session, or you can do three sessions and they're $125 each, and or you can sign up for the whole year, and the whole year is $900 for 12 months. So it's a significant savings. So if you're interested, give me a call if you've got my number, or Jeannie, and or drop Jeannie an email, Jeannie at whyagain.org. Make sure you include your name and your phone number, and you'll hear from me, and we'll get you set up to participate. So, sweet group that's gathering, and really appreciating the depth to which everybody's going as we work together each month, once a month. And beyond that, do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in chat room, sweetie?
No, it's quiet on both ends. Pull your microphone away just a tiny bit. It's kind of popping. It hadn't done that
okay.
in a while.
Yeah, that's strange. Okay, is that any better?
Yes.
Good.
So press 1 and it puts your hand up, and we know you want to talk, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yes. The sound of silence.
And I think that all of the participants, we did have a hand just go up, all of the participants of tomorrow's breath workshop, for the exception of one, is on the switchboard. So, again, we announced that it's 11 o'clock Eastern time. We did that because Roma's time didn't change, and she was going to have to get up at 4 in the morning. So this way she can still stay at 5 in the morning. And we appreciate her being so vigilant to join us at that time. So we will see you all 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. And I will turn on the microphone of 9:04. I believe this is Dusty.
Well, yes, it is. Aloha, everybody.
Aloha, young man. Good to hear your voice. How do you be?
Yep. Well, I'm doing pretty darn well today. And I was glad to hear, Jeannie, you mentioned that you came and slipped your hand in the Avison, and I use that a lot myself. So
profound.
I have a question. The Avison? Oh, yes, it is. It always feels like a like mother's little helper, you know, kind of a biological like. A little bit of an oomph, and I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, did I send you a video link yesterday?
Me? No, I didn't get it, at least.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, I will send you one. I had done a session around the sympathetic, parasympathetic system in the body and how it relates to the Avison. It's a really powerful session that we did. It's been edited down, and I think it's 25 minutes or so. But I'll forward that to you. I think you'll enjoy it and probably get some good information out of it.
Yeah.
So as we speak, I'm forwarding it while you're asking your question.
And for others who may others that may be listening, I have now added a section. If you go to our website and go under healing, and then there's a section called healing body, mind, and spirit. We now have Avison under that as well, so you can pick up some information there.
Boy, you can get everything done on your website, but your toenails trimmed. It sounds like, man, wow, that's great. I'm mind-boggled at the amount of data, information, worth that you contain and all that. And
we,
I have a question.
Gee, I'm just thinking, one more thought while I'm thinking about it, if you don't mind, Dusty, for Jeannie, is
sure.
Maybe we put that on the page for the app, too, so that people can go directly from the app to the Avison as well.
Oh, okay. I can put it on the more page.
Cool. Sweet.
That's pretty good, and I wouldn't have a clue on exactly how to do that, so that's great that you do. And
it is awesome,
so
I'll tell you.
Oh yeah. I'm very grateful for this, and it's a little bit of a I don't want to say it's a little like a little security blanket, but it's a little bit like that. You know, it's a little bit of extra stuff, and that helps in the world of health.
Definitely.
And I have a question about, and I don't know if this is in your bailiwick or not, but it's a word.
Okay.
It comes up in the Christian liturgy, and it's used over and over and over and over. In fact, the whole religion just about revolves around it. And the word is resurrection. And I wonder if there's anything in the Aramaic or any perspective on that, or maybe some kind of renewal like that, that you know of that relates to that word and process.
Well, people tend to think of it in terms of the body dying and the body being resurrected. But my take on the actual teachings of Yeshua, where that principle comes in, you know, there's one point where there's a young man who's really excited about what he's learned from Yeshua. And he's like, and man, I'm going to follow you, man. But first of all, I need to go home and bury my father. Now, that didn't mean that his father had just passed away. In that Jewish tradition, a man took care of his parents until they died and buried them. So he was saying, you know, I can't really come do the work now, Yeshua. I might have to leave for a decade or two or three till my parents die. Then I'll be back. And Yeshua's response was, let the dead bury the dead. So actually, obviously, when he says that, you realize that he's talking about people who they say are alive. But
they say.
He's saying they're dead. Is Julie on by any chance, Jeannie? Julie Haverstick?
No, she's not.
There's a woman at Heartland who's been doing the work for decades, and she's often on the show. And back several years ago, she was kind of in a space of questioning this work. She'd been doing it for a long time and questioning it, and she was in a healing crisis, like, why am I going through this pain? Why am I bothering to do this? And what she was told was, this is your purification process. And then she intuitively was asking, you know, about different people, and, you know, she was instructed that this was kind of like her awakening, or we could say her resurrection. And so she started to ask about different people that she knew. And, you know, well, there's this doctor, a very high-level intellect, and certainly he's all finished with his. No, he's dead. And went through a whole litany of people. And so what is death? Is it the death of the body, or is it the death of the awareness of ourselves as who we are, as human beings, as love? So what Yeshua was, you know, leading this man who said, I'm going to follow you, but I got to go bury my parents first, my offering would be that he's leading people to resurrect while they're alive, what the world would call alive and well and living the life. So what is that resurrection? It's my offering would be that if we're locked into a world of hostility and fear and grief and rage and pain, disease, drama, and trauma, then and not aware of ourselves or functioning as love or out of love, then we're quite literally dead. In fact, they talk about the second death. There's a point where Yeshua says, you know, he's offering people his work to overcome the hostility and fear. And he says, to he that overcomes, to she that overcomes, they will not taste of the second death. So the first death is when my offering would be when we lose awareness of who we are as the created essence of love. The second death would be the death of the body. So here's this passage in Revelations where Yeshua says, to he or she that overcomes, they will not taste of the second death. They will become a pillar in the temple of the Creator. And, of course, the temple is the body. Will become a pillar in the temple of the Creator and shall go out no more, which, you know, it's a pretty clear statement that you're not going to kill yourself again. All physical death is suicide. We do it to ourselves when we engage in hostility or fear and are not aware that we've robbed physiology of the power supply that it takes to run it. And over time, it just runs down and shuts down. Yes. When we restore the proper power supply, I would offer that is resurrection, the real resurrection. And when we truly do that, then we stop engaging in the things that kill our bodies. And as he said, then you become a fixture in the body, the temple, and you go out no more. You're not going to die. Now, of course, the teaching's been so distorted that who knows how to do that? Why, you know, like, where do we even see any sign of it? Well, we're working on it.
Yes, I hear what you're saying, and I understand. I agree. And it seems to me that there's different levels of that. I'm going to use throw the word out as kind of a catch word right now, resurrection. But I find that if I get kind of off or just kind of along the lines of what you said, but if I find myself kind of off the mark, as it were, if I will come to present time, I mean, with just stop. I might be walking across the room, just stop or whatever I have to do, and come to very present time, breathe maybe a little bit, and just feel that essential nature that we are, which is love. That in itself is a minor resurrection, I feel, right there.
Yep.
And
I agree with
and
you.
And it's a present time thing. It's nothing you do in the future, the past, or maybe you do, but it's like it's a present time. Oh, yeah, this is it. And when we do come to present time, focus on, you know, on our true nature. I was going to say higher nature. I guess they're probably the same. Because I feel like every day I have to kind of reinvent myself in part. And I'm going to backtrack on that word reinvent and say it's a kind of a resurrection. Of course, just waking up in the morning is a bit of a resurrection for me. But
right.
And when I really, one place I really feel it is when I go into the ocean. I put fins on my feet and I go out in all kinds of weather and waves and whatever. But if I go out in that, somebody asked me why I do that, because it was cold and windy or whatever it was, and nobody else was even on the beach. You know, I mean, that happens a lot. And I have to say that it's a kind of resurrection for me because of my consciousness when I'm in and under the water, and it's like a combination between a workout and a baptism, as it were, a renewal. And I don't know, a guy like me needs all the renewal he can get.
Well, I'm with you, and I'm in full agreement with you. And the other piece I would add when I find myself lost in something, I have to stop and come back to the present moment, is that's also the place to engage in the forgiveness process, because whatever it is in my mind that trapped me in something other than the present, if I will forgive as to that energetic pattern, I'll remove that trap from my mind until the only thing left. There's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says, you need not seek for love. You need only seek, find, and I add to that, release the barriers that you built within yourself against it. And so instead of having to, you know, day after day after day after day be, you know, come back to present moment around the same issue, as I dissolve those past issues, then I get to live more in present time continuously as, you know, the human being that I am, that each of us are.
Yes. And, you know, that word remove that comes out of these teachings, I've added that to my consciousness vocabulary, and I write it down sometimes instead of using other words that I have used in the past, maybe. I like the word remove. It is such a clean, straightforward, honest, with no trap on either side of it, just remove.
Yes.
And
I'm with you.
And yeah, and for me, it could be the simple thing, like I'm just thinking about maybe I'm not carrying a burden, let's say, of something that happened 30 years ago, but it could just be anything, any silly little thing that, distracts you more than you need to, and you kind of go, and present time. Oh, God is good on that one.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Every new moment is, it is. Every new moment is a new moment. It's a chance for a resurrection, as we've been talking. And I liked your – go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I liked some of the things you said about that so far.
Yeah, well, to me, the fact that we get to live a human life, you know, so many people are caught up in this conflict and war and all the garbage that goes on, but that we actually have the opportunity to live a human life is just so monumental.
Yeah.
To me,
you know, and just, I think about that, and I think about how we're not disembodied spirits or whatever it is. I mean, we actually have a biological physiological temple that moves around, and the opportunities are, it's got to be like an iceberg, you know, how much we're aware of what is that's possible within this particular setting with the biology and the consciousness. And what a gift. I agree.
Absolutely. I don't know if you were on the show. It was recently that I was talking about an ophthalmologist that I used to work with who is now passed, but he used to use laser lights and put them into the eye at different angles to stimulate different parts of the brain. And I went through his program, and it was really just like an awesome brain upgrade. And one of the things that he used to say was that in one human brain, there are more connections possible than the number of atoms in the known universe. And when you think about that, it's like, what, there's a great metaphorical story out there called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
If you go, there's actually a movie of it that you can watch on YouTube, and it's pretty cool. But, you know, where there's this Jonathan Livingston Seagull decides that maybe there's more to life than fighting for fish heads on the beach and power in the flock. And he goes off flying. He goes off trying something different. And of course, everybody drags him down and what's wrong with him. But it's a great story for, you know, are we just replicating the lives of the past generations? You know, they talk about that in the scriptures. It says, look to the lives of the fathers, for ours are but a shadow of theirs upon the earth. Is that all we're doing? Or have we worked through those things, and are we actually moving into those higher functions? Part of what the Avicen does in this link that I sent you is that when we move from a sympathetic dominant state where fear, fight, fright, or freeze is the mode of operation. In that mode, higher brain functions, higher cortical functions are gone. They just don't work. It's not until we get to this rest, digest, thrive state rather than survive state that those higher possibilities open up. And so forgiving the things that keep us attached to the sympathetic dominance, and what happens is that in that sympathetic dominant state, non-essential survival functions are shut down, like higher capacity thinking. The frontal cortex isn't needed. Things like reproduction, you don't need that if a lion's chasing you, or digestion. You know, there are a lot of things that just aren't necessary, and those things, and so powerfully, wonderfully so, I mean, if a lion's chasing you, you don't want any energy wasted on anything that's not essential, and all that gets to shift over into the large skeletal muscles and the heart and the lungs, and man, that part of the structure is rocking, and that's wonderful, but in that state, if we get locked in that fight, fright, fear, freeze mode, then we're permanently locked out of the ability to thrive and use the higher cortical functions that are possible for us. And you look around at the way people are living and playing the game of hostility or fear, and it's kind of like Jonathan Livingston Seagull. It's like, well, but what else is there besides this? Gee, didn't you see? I won that political discussion. Beat that guy. I did a debate and won. It's like, do you realize the root of the word debate is to beat? Why would we want to do that if we are these higher beings? And what's possible if we literally have this device that work out of as many connections as the number of atoms in the known universe? Like, what else is possible for us if we start to pay attention there? To me, that's the awesome place to go.
Yes, I like that. And when you were talking, I had this image. Well, the first thought I had was that we are like the tip of the spear. In the Army, we had the Rangers, and they were called the tip of the spear in that sense. But
right.
In terms of consciousness moving around, every moment, I mean, we have a chance to be the tip of that sphere. And when I thought that thought, then I don't see them around much anymore. But you remember the wooden matches, the stick matches?
Right, yes.
And you could flick your thumb across the phosphorus and it'd light up.
Right.
I have that image in my head of that's us when we are doing what you were saying, when we're doing when we're being in that consciousness, in that tip of the spear of who and what we can be. I mean, even though
exactly,
and I have an understanding, you know, that some of the indigenous peoples, you know, that I mean, the great mystery, we have to embrace the great mystery, as it were, as well.
Right.
Because just like the Dalai Lama said, you know, it was like, well, there's a whole lot more we don't know than we do. And
exactly.
I go, okay, but I'm going to go ahead and light this match and try to be this point of consciousness and see what I can see and hear and feel. In fact, in my meditation last night, I think I had my hand in the Avacyn at the time. A small, still voice just went, just listen. Your breathing and listen inside. Listen. And quit letting your mind trample over those subtle impulses. Listen.
You know, what you bring to mind is the brainwash of the culture of, you know, well, people get old, they're decrepit and break down and they're lonely and alone and life is terrible and blah, 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 suffering and all that. When the possibility is, you know, to me, it's like I look forward to getting into the 90s and 100s and 120, 150 and to continue to build brain cells, to continue to expand, connect, create. It's like, who knows what's possible if people buy into that other vision. And, you know, I mean, we're structured. If you ever watch when I post about Arya Rain on Facebook, I never post Arya Rain. People ask age. When people say, what age is she, or how old is she, is usually the phrase. I usually say she isn't. And people kind of are taken back. It's like, what do you mean? It's like, well, she isn't. She's been circling the earth for 3 years. But thank you. We're not selling her the idea that she's already 3 years old. And age and death go hand in hand in this culture. And I think it's all a fraud and a lie. And, you know, to me, it's like,
yes.
What an opportunity. What a just phenomenal possibility.
And I couldn't agree more. And I have some of my dearest friends that are getting old, and partially because of the exact reason you mentioned, who was it, Picasso, that said youth has no age? And
right.
like your granddaughter there, or you, and for instance, and but he said, it's not just something that you kind of go, oh well, I get this, it's free, I don't have to do anything. Yeah, you do. You have to keep your mind right, and you have to figure out what your biology needs. You have to nourish your overall physiology, and like Dylan said, that which is busy being born is busy dying.
Yeah.
So there is
I'm
a constant
you.
Renewal, constant.
Yes.
I mean,
resurrection.
Overstretched the word, right? Resurrection and
from the past.
Yes, and. But it takes a certain amount of, at least I find, it takes a certain amount of diligence. You're still point breathing. Oh, people, do your breath work. Oh, please.
Yep. I'm with you
essential.
On that.
In fact, I smacked my rib on a sandbar. First time I'd been even remotely injured out here, and I was already out of the water. It was a silly mistake, but I injured my lower left intercostal, my lower left rib.
Ouch.
And and there was a part, wow, when it came to breathing deeply, I mean, just as I start to open up the bottom of the rib cage, that was very hard. And I went through about 3 weeks of that. And breathing and breath work is at the heart of just about anything of merit that I do.
The hard life.
Yes. And when I couldn't breathe, never, let alone I couldn't sing, I couldn't go in the ocean, and da 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 da. And I went, wow. Wow. And my appreciation has gone up even that much more.
Mm.
And oxygenate my system, blah, blah, and work the respiratory muscles and all that.
Right.
But that's...
Who was it that wrote that line, you don't know what you got till it's gone or threatened?
Right, right. You don't
deeper levels of appreciation.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And, I think if I was just to pull something out of my hat, when I got severely injured 15 a little over 15 years ago, I mean, like the kind of thing that you die from right there,
right,
at an accident. And so I went from a pretty extreme athlete at the time to an invalid. I lost my business, my house, my money, my everything, just boom. And I went, wow. But it deepened me. I thought a pretty darn heavy price for it, but it
deepened
me.
Yeah.
So, but
life is always calling us to that place.
What's that?
Life is always calling us to that higher place.
Right. And so I guess in a sense, that's the resurrection. That's another way of looking at it. It's just that consciousness where we come into contact with our true nature and then perform whatever duties or joy or fun from that place. That's a resurrection for sure. And
yeah. Well, it sounds like that accident was a pretty heavy-duty cosmic 2x4 to get your attention.
Oh, it did. And I excuse me for putting it like this, but it would have killed you right on the spot. But I had been doing it via keto and the surfing, and I was playing football, and I was doing all this stuff, and I was limbering. My girlfriend was a yoga instructor, and we had blah, blah, blah. Anyways, and even with all that and having a kind of a tough little compact frame, I just barely survived the first 2 minutes. And
Well, I'm glad you did.
Well, thanks. I'm
looking for you to reconnect with you. I'd have never found you if you hadn't. So I'm glad you did.
Right. It would have been this dead. I had already been buried. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to touch in and let you know that I've been listening, and I appreciate the efforts made. And speaking of effort, I want to leave you with one thought. And I'm not sure who said this. It was maybe somebody. It was a woman like Mary Angelou something, maybe from 100 years,
right,
or 200 years ago or something. She said, "Every effort made on behalf, no effort made on behalf of beauty, is ever wasted."
I'm with that one.
Yeah, so for the artist of all of us, and however that is, yeah. Blessings,
all
my friend.
All of us in the cosmic storehouse. All right, we appreciate you, sir.
Yeah.
Blessings.
Okay.
Extending love in your direction.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right.
You too.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
And we have another hand up.
Oh, awesome. Let's say hello.
Hi there.
Sweet.
It is Magda.
Hi,
hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. That was a great conversation. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it.
Dusty and I go back 50, I don't know, maybe two or, well, maybe not quite that. Our son's 43. It was probably 2 years. So 45 years ago. Dusty and I go back
cool.
to Atlanta, and the comment I made toward the end is that I lost him for years. I have another friend that I've always kept in touch with, and over the last decades, I'd ask Patrick. You've heard Patrick on the show, and he's been in some of the intensives.
Right.
I'd ask Patrick,
right,
"Have you found Dusty?" And Patrick would ask, "Have you found Dusty?" It's like, for decades we looked for him, and then one day Patrick came up with him back I don't know, maybe 2 years ago now. So it's pretty cool.
That is. So the reason I'm calling for myself is in preparation for our grieving tomorrow. It's been quite clear to me over the last few days that I need to do some sort of mind shifter around, and here's where I'm very vague. I'm not sure what. It has to do with all of the military action that's happening from Russia.
Right.
And one part of me says, okay, everything is in place. Everything is just the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
And another part of me is saying, but it's so horrible what's going on and it's not just that war, but it's human beings and how we treat each other with words and violence that is not loving. And so it's like all wrapped up, and the war is kind of bringing it up to the forefront for me. So there's some kind of mind shifter in there that I want to do.
Yes.
I don't know why.
I've got one for you.
Yay. Okay. Go for it.
The more I perceive violence externally,
I can tell I'm not going to like hearing the rest of this.
The deeper it calls me.
I'm trying to write so I can read this afterwards, so I'm going slowly. The deeper it calls me.
To look at the incoherence in myself.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Is that where it needs to go? Are you breathing as you look at that?
I'm not sure. I think so. But only because I haven't passed out yet. So, yeah. And that feels right on. Mm-hmm. And it goes into decades and decades and lifetimes. And, you know, that's been coming up for me a lot in these last few months. Okay. Thank you. I'm armed and ready to
the next layer.
The next layer, indeed.
And I join you in being able to hold the space for the actions that we see that are insane, but hold on to our own sanity and the presence of love in ourselves so that we can shine a light on that.
Mm-hmm.
Jeannie and I had mentioned that a series we've watched recently, where actually we just finished the last one that's out yet. There are another three sessions yet to play the next 3 weeks, but it's called Outlander, and it's a loose historical account on Netflix of a relationship of a man who is at least historically somewhat accurate, and a woman who's a time traveler from the, you know, our modern times, that through a series of events goes back in time and lands there, and they create a relationship and just all that happens. And we'd gotten to the end of it, and I was talking to a friend of mine and suggesting it to them, because it's a really powerful series, a great place to breathe and to move through several times. And we were watching it in the evening before we go to sleep, and several times Jeannie and I will say, okay, so and some of it gets pretty heavy duty. It's like, okay, Ruka, as we sleep, process whatever this resonates enough, whatever this moves in us, process it for us. Mm-hmm. But it's been interesting. This friend that I shared it with, he said, well, there's another one out there called Versailles. And, you know, I love this history stuff, and it's so historical.
Oh.
And, you know, all the stuff in France back in the 1700s and the building. It's awesome. Watch that. And we started watching it just a couple nights ago. And, you know, the juxtaposition of these two has been, for my mind, really quite startling and gotten my attention. In the Outlander series, there are people who actually care for each other, people of true goodwill, of true integrity, who are truly working to live as love in the world, which is pretty violent, in which they live. So there's integrity and decency there. And then when I look at this period in France, and we're just on, you know, maybe the third or fourth, you know, the first season with the third or fourth show. And what strikes me, and it's like, you know, France, it's for the most part, a good part of America's history. The French came over here and were part of the whole taming of the land thing and part of our history and the European culture and all. But the window that this gives is such debauchery, such deception, such a lack of decency or any kind of goodwill through the royalty, through the nobles, through, you know, everybody. I mean, it's so much of what's come to a head in our politics in America. It's just every dog eating every other dog. And you can see the roots of why things are in such conflict in the world as they are today, especially setting it on top of having just watched this series, Outlander, where there is decency and there are people who truly live up to their word, and it doesn't matter what it takes. That's what they do. And so watching the two together has been, it's kind of opened for me a new level of willingness to look at my own genetic history, to look at my own cultural history, and to be willing to really keep or moving on a new level into forgiveness, to remove any part of me that thinks in any way, shape, or form that virtually anything going on in our culture today is normal or reasonable or sane in any way, shape, or form. Yeah. So I join you in, you know, forgiving to the next level, and that together we create a space for the healing of whatever it is that needs to be healed for all of us.
I'm familiar with both of those. I read several of the Outlander books, and I watched almost all of the series. I don't know if I actually finished it. But we got quite
we're up to number six right now. There are eight parts in the last season that they've done in that season six. There are eight, and we're at five, and they're just releasing them 1 week at a time on Stars. And then they're supposed to release a new series with 18 because they only did eight in this one because of the pandemic. They're doing 18 in the series seven. So,
that'll be good. I watched Versailles, and I was so intrigued by it that I watched it twice. It's really...
Really?
The development of the two brothers in this royal family in France are just amazing to see what the essence of each one is about and how some of the positive aspects in both of them come through sometimes. And then the power grab and all of that comes through other times. So it's kind of a wonderful mirror of how contradictory we all are in our being, in our manifestations in the world. I found it very, very good. So those are two great recommendations. Got any others for me?
Definitely opportunities to learn forgiveness. Yes, there are a couple of other really good series on Netflix that we watched all the way through, and they just released a new season, so we just started the other night to watch the latest season that's been released. It's called Call the Midwives.
Oh, yeah.
And it's based on a true memoir of a woman who was a nurse midwife in the 50s in England, in a very poor community in England, and it addresses all of the, you know, all of the crazy stuff that happens with people and families and communities and babies and all of that. That was a powerful series.
The nice thing about that series is that it really always has a heavy amount of the goodness of the people involved coming through. In each character, and
even the most tragic things are filtered through the presence of love. To me, was one of the sweetest things in that series. And then one other one that is actually comes out of Canada is called Heartland, and it's also on Netflix. And that was a powerful series we watched through. I think they're getting ready to bring another series out on that, but we've watched that whole all the seasons on Heartland, and it's a
It takes place
in Western Canada. Say again?
How is Heartland spelled in this case?
Just like Heartland. H-A-R-T-L-A-N-D. Yeah. It's a good, it's really excellent.
I'll check that out. Okay.
Family stuff.
All right.
You know, the grandfather wisdom and the young girl who becomes a horsewoman and master and just development of relationships and, you know, family stuff. More opportunities to learn forgiveness.
Wonderful. Okay, good recommendations. Thank you, thank you. And I shall make room for someone else to call in. And see you tomorrow. We'll have fun.
All right, young lady.
Okay.
See you then.
Thank you, Jim.
Okay, blessings.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Appreciate you. Bye-bye.
Blessings to you both.
Received.
And will we be sending out the ninth list before tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, we'll do it.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
So everybody watch your emails. So that'll be coming out.
So it looks like we've got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
No, it's all quiet. One of the things I'll share, though, since we've got a few minutes, is this morning,
please.
One of Aria's favorite games is to play doctor. We're trying to get it switched to where she's, you know, more looking at somebody just needing a checkup and, you know, to do healing and things like that. But we were playing that, and I was the patient. And she looks at me, and she goes, okay, breathe. And so I kind of had my teeth gritted and went like that. And she goes, no, no. She said, like this, breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And she was, so, and she waited until I was breathing right before she continued. So that was kind of cute.
That's great. That's awesome.
And
one of our projects this afternoon. Oh, go ahead, sweetie.
One of the things that we got her was these little round stuffed balls and their emotions and different ones, you know, like the red one says anger on the back of it and the pink one says love and different. And there's 8 different emotions. And she noticed, I didn't point it out, she noticed that the feet on each one, the thing that holds them flat on the table, is a heart shape. Of course, it's supposed to be their feet. But she said, oh, it's a heart. They all have love underneath. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And one of our projects today with her, Jeannie's got some earwax, and we have ear candles. It's an old naturopathic, actually, I think against the Native American traditions, they take linen or cotton and wrap it with a layer of beeswax, and you place that in the ear canal. You light it at the top. It's about, you know, 10 inches long. You light it at the top, and the candle burns down. And as it does, it drops heat into the ear, which creates kind of a chimney effect and draws wax. It melts the wax in the ear and draws it out of the ear. So we're going. She just loves anatomy, physiology, healing, and so that's one of the things we're going to do yet this afternoon is do Nini's ears with an ear candle, so she gets to experience another aspect of her medical training. And if you haven't heard us talk about her before, she just loves anatomy and physiology, loves to take apart the body puzzle kind of thing that we have, a skeleton that has all the organs, and you can take them out individually and take the muscles off and put them back on. And she just loves that. Anatomy and physiology was just like when we first introduced her to some anatomy cards, she just instantly glommed onto those and spent hours with them. And we'll sit and watch an anatomy, you know, a college level anatomy video for 45 minutes, just glued onto it. It's pretty amazing, pretty cool. And if you missed it, I shared this on the show a few weeks ago, but when it happened, but she was working on this, you know, this body that you take apart and put together. And, you know, she can tell you where the pancreas goes and where the adrenals are and where the intestines are and where the esophagus is, all of that. But she was putting it back together, and she was holding the kidneys and the bladder in her hands. And she turned to Jean and says, Nini, my hand needs to pee. So at 3.5, you know, she's been circling the earth for about 3.5 years, holding the kidney and the bladder, and she's made that link that, oh, my hand needs to pee. You know, it's just amazing to watch the connection she makes and what she understands. Pretty sweet, pretty amazing. So we're down to how many minutes? Time for one more conversation, I think.
4 minutes.
So if you're out there in listener land, push one. Let's have a short conversation. Great. Let's go for it.
541. You're on the air. I think it's Julie.
Yes. Hi.
Well, welcome back, young lady. How was your journey to Mexico?
It was really basically fun. Yeah, warm weather, and I came home with some tan without even trying. Being in the
nice.
Humidity was healthy, you know. Yeah. So.
Cool. Well, what's on your mind
today? I don't know what's on my mind except my absolute fascination with Aria Rain. I used to play doctor too when I was a kid, and I had all my little medicines in a shoebox. And but I never really was subscribing to medicines and all that. I just was playing doctor, and I just feel such a connection with her. I'm real happy for her. It's great that you're documenting her pathway and influencing it, you know, guiding it.
And she
that's pretty
was,
sweet.
When we shared this before, her mom was going through a healing crisis, and Aria was saying she was going to take care of her, and Gabby asked her, said, are you going to be a doctor when you grow up? And she said, I'm going to heal people with my love, but first I'm going to be a dinosaur.
So I've got big teeth.
Yeah, that's and this so morning cute. When she first got here, she was a dinosaur.
Well, you see, now there might be a connection of the anatomy of a dinosaur, you know, and the roots of, you know, creation. Who knows? She's so cute. Oh, she could write.
Pretty amazing.
We could write some dinosaur songs. Anyway, yeah, I mean, who knows what the mind of the dinosaurs was?
Who knows? But you might jump on, if you have the space, jump on Jeannie's Facebook page. And she posted a video of Aria. There's a book that her parents got about the frog in the hole in the log at the bottom of the sea, and the frog had a hare, and the hare had a fly, and the fly had a gnat. And so we go through. She teaches me the whole story. We go through it, and it's a really cute video. There's a couple of pretty cute ones that she's added just recently.
Oh, I think
we are
I would
so blessed.
Love that. I need to learn how to trust Facebook. Go ahead.
Well, you don't have to put anything into Facebook to just observe. You don't need to share anything private or anything like that.
But don't you have to do a password and everything? I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're already signed up. We got you signed up when we did the intensive and did the food and the codependence.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
you don't have to reveal anything.
You on my I don't know my password anymore, so I'll just find out from you. But, Michael, everything you've given to everybody today, like Dusty, something about the parasympathetic nervous system and the Avicen, I love
right.
that link. And then I loved, I'm going to re-listen anyway, but I loved Magda's Mind Shifter. I feel those same resonances, so I think I may do it also. And I
it's a good
like,
one.
Yeah, are you creating more? Another list?
Perfect. Yes. Yeah. But that may be a good one to focus on for tomorrow's session. That's a good idea. You know, maybe if Roma's listening, maybe she'll pick up that mind shifter and work on it too. Cool.
Yeah,
well, we're down to
we
the last minute or so.
Shift. Yeah. Go ahead.
So I'm going to say thank you for joining us. And everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.